Thank you, Dave, and good morning, everyone. Joy to see you, each one out this morning to spend some time singing and in prayer and in the Word of God. I want to start by telling you a little story about four preachers who would get together on Monday morning and sort of talk about the ministries as they were going on. And the one started talking about how he had had trouble with having bats that would fly around in the building, chapel building. And so one spoke up and said, you know, I had the same problem with that happening. And so he said, well, what did you do about it? He said, well, I actually got my old grandpap's shotgun and tried to shoot him, but the only thing that did is put holes in the ceiling. That didn't work. So second guy spoke up and he said, you know, I had the same problem too. And what I did is I set some traps, and I was able to catch all those bats in the traps. And the next day I took him out and I drove five. He didn't want to kill him. He was kind of a lover of, you know, animals and things. And so he took him out and he drove him 500 miles away. And he said, you know, I let him loose. And before I even got back, they had flown all the way back. And there they were. They were flying around inside the church building again. And so the third one spoke up and he said, you know, I had the same problem, but I was able to get rid of the bats. And the other spoke up, well, how did you do that? And so he said, well, all I had to do was I had to baptize them, make them members of the church. I hadn't seen them since. Well, you know, some people will just go so far, spiritually speaking, and then they just go far enough, perhaps, just to ease their conscience, and they'll stop right there. Now, they might attend casually or become a member of a church or that sort of thing, just so they can say that they have at least some spiritual involvement in their lives. Well, we don't have a membership here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We have those who come regular and are in fellowship, but we don't have a membership per se like that. But you know, it's still possible to be coming and do essentially the same thing. It's easy sort of to get comfortable in our current level of involvement without ever examining ourselves in light of what is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and what he would want from us, his best. And in light of that, we as elders chose as a theme this year a challenge for us, just like every year we have a challenge that we want to present before us. We want to take the whole of the Christian life, but in a particular way, we have a challenge every year. And that challenge that we have chosen for this year, as you know, is assembly required. Now, our concern in encouraging attendance at the meetings is not simply for the sake of numbers. Let me just make that real clear. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to try to see an increase and so that we can sort of pat ourselves on the back and say, wow, you know, everything must be going good. That's not our goal at all. Once again, we seek to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We see him as being the head of this church. No human head here in this church. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And therefore, this being his church, we want it to be honoring to him. And so therefore, we bring this challenge. Not only do we need the assembly, but the assembly needs us as well, who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. You know, the Lord Jesus makes it clear in his word that with the illustration of the body, that the body needs the hand. Isn't that true? And just as the body needs the hand needs the body as well. And every one of us who know the Lord Jesus, Christ as Savior, and in fellowship here, we need each other. The body needs us, and we need the body as well. And so, just like it's important for the whole body to be healthy, it's important for the individual parts to be healthy as well. Hebrews 10:25 is one of the scriptures that we would use in the challenge for this year, and that is to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, let me say this very, very carefully and probably even repeat it, is that our desire as the spiritual oversight of the assembly is not to make you feel guilty when you cannot be here, but rather to encourage you to want to be here when you can. I want to make that very clear. Let me say that again. Our goal in having this as an assembly challenge is not to make you feel guilty when you cannot be here, but rather to have a desire to be here when you can. In that light, I'd like to look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And that's one of the other scriptures that we have referred to in this challenge for ourselves as an assembly for this year, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. The early church met in the book of Acts there, met primarily for these reasons as we read about it in Acts chapter 2. And actually, let's begin reading in verse number 41 to get the context. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized in the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And as we look at this New Testament assembly, we see it as being the pattern for us to follow. We see that these were the four critical things that the assembly met together to do. There's the apostles' doctrine. Of course, we see that as being referring to the teaching of the Word of God. And in fellowship with the believers, sharing together, as we're going to see in the work here at the Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, and the breaking of bread, referring to the Lord's Supper, and then also in prayer, not just individual, but here in this context, corporate prayer, where we come together and communicate with Almighty God. You may recall when Brother Mark presented this challenge to us, one of the things he talked about and brought out to us is he said that we can do all these things at home. And that's true, we can. But what we're considering here for the assembly is what the Lord would have for his church as we come together in a corporate way. He has a desire for us to unite together to learn the apostles' doctrine, that is, the scriptures, the word of God, to come together in fellowship with one another and to share with one another, to remember our Lord in his appointed way and the Lord's Supper, to do so together corporately as well as to pray together in a corporate way. Not only did the early church come together for these purposes, but we see here in chapter 2 and verse 42, it says that they continued steadfastly in these things. It wasn't just a casual approach to these four very important things that were a part of the assembly. They continued steadfastly in them. And, I'm sure there were times when it may have not been convenient. I'm sure there were times when maybe they didn't feel like coming together or they had other things to do. And we can relate to that, can't we? If we're honest, we can relate to that. But nonetheless, they still continued steadfastly with a firm commitment. It's not that they were forced. It's not that they were coerced, but they chose to do so. And they had a desire to commit to these things, meeting together. I remember when I was in high school, and I would go out for sports. One of the things that the coaches always made very clear, if you were going to go out for that particular sport, they made it clear that you had to commit to being there for the practices and to be there on time. And if you didn't take that commitment and follow through on it, the only thing you did is earn yourself a place on the bench. And you had to be there if you wanted to do that. Now, did anybody force those or myself to do that for that sport? No, we chose to. We wanted to do it because we wanted to play in that sport. And so it is with us. We want to have that desire, the choice to commit to being here for these reasons. And we can relate to our jobs as well. Think about our jobs. There's a lot of times we get up in the morning, and how many of you can relate to sometimes not wanting to go to your job first thing in the morning? Sometimes that's true, isn't it? But nonetheless, you made a commitment to be there. You said, if I'm going to take this job, when you interviewed, if you took that job, you made a commitment, whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to be there. I've got to be there. And if you're not, you know what happens. It's not too long, you'll be looking for another job. And you know, so it is here in the assembly. We make a commitment. We want to have a desire to make that kind of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is our challenge, to make that kind of commitment, not to a job or to a sport, obviously, but to be like this early church who continued steadfastly together in the word and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. Now, once again, we don't want anyone to feel coerced or forced in any kind of way. That's not the desire. That's not our goal. But rather, we want to create in all of us a desire for that, not to be forced in any way. And so that's my goal this morning. As we look at these four areas, I'd like to look at them from the perspective of what we often, when you go to the doctor, and the doctor, one of the first things that the nurse will do before you ever see the doctor is the nurse is going to do what? Going to check your vital signs. Now, about 10 years ago, we looked at this verse in this respect with the concern is vital signs. I want to take a little different approach to it, but use the same example. And looking at these four issues, these four areas of the local church, and consider them as our spiritual vital signs. And examine ourselves, check our health, just like when you go to the doctor, and these are the four critical areas that they check. What are the four vital signs? There are the blood pressure, the temperature, your pulse, and your respiration rate. Funk and Wagnall's Family Medical Guide says this: these four items are all important indicators of disease and are easily obtainable information for the physician. Separately or together, they offer important clues to the patient's physical condition. And so it is when we examine our spiritual vital signs, they indicate our spiritual health individually as well as together as an assembly. And so that's what I'd like for us to do. You know, the church is not just an organization, is it? But we are an organism. What's the difference? Life in Jesus Christ is what makes the difference. We have life here, and we want that life to be healthy and pleasing to the Lord Jesus. And I hope that as we look through these various areas, looking at them from the perspective of being vital signs, that we will gain that perspective as well, or enhance that perspective if we already have it. You know, if we were to take these four vital signs, as it were, and we were to take this early church and roll up their sleeve and put the cuff on and pump it up and take the temperature, we would see this was a healthy assembly. They continued steadfastly in these four areas, and it turned out to be a very healthy assembly. In fact, look down in verse number 46. It says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and the breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." God was glorified. That's what our desire is that God would be glorified in this assembly. And so what is the first area that he describes in verse number 42 that they continued steadfastly in? That is the apostles' doctrine. And I'd like to relate this to checking our blood pressure, as it were. Now, we know that this refers to the teaching of the Word of God. The apostles were the men that were chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, who would receive the Word of God. And now we have it recorded for us right here in the Bible that we hold before us. And so the inspired teachings in the Word of God, it's no accident, I believe, that this is listed first of the four. The first thing he talks about is that they met together, that they continued steadfastly in, was the apostles' doctrine. I would suggest that this book, the Word of God, is the foundation for any healthy New Testament assembly. We have to stick to the Word of God. So for that reason, at all of our regularly scheduled meetings, we have a time that we look into the Word of God, the apostles' doctrine. We include teaching from God's Word. That's why it's so important for all of us to be here as often as we can to take advantage of all the opportunities to come together. Should we be studying the Bible on our own? We certainly should. Spending time daily in the Word of God. But this is our corporate time to come together and to learn from God's Word, just like they did here in the New Testament. So how does this relate to our blood pressure? Simply put, our blood pressure refers to the amount of blood that is in circulation. Blood carries oxygen and nutrients to tissues, and waste away from the tissues. And it's also responsible for killing organisms, perhaps that can cause disease. So if there's a problem with our blood pressure, it can affect our whole body. And that's what we want to think about when we think about the apostles' doctrine. When we come together to look into the Word of God, do we see it as that important? Just like if you were to go to the doctor, they check your blood pressure. If there's a problem, you want to know what the problem is. Why is my blood pressure not what it should be? And address that problem, whether it be through medication or exercise or diet or those fun things that we like to hear that we have to do. But the blood pressure is vital. It's called a vital sign. And we should see that as true in the assembly, as our involvement, as the opportunities we have to come together to hear the word. A few scriptures that will encourage us in that way. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. It's the word of God that helps us to grow. Just like the blood carries the nutrients to the different parts of the body for growth. So it is when we hear the word of God to grow. In 1 Timothy 4:6 speaks of being nourished up in the word and in faith. In 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we want to come together. That's why we want to encourage all of us this year to make a special effort, assembly required, to be here for the teaching of the Word of God, that we might all grow. We never arrive, do we? We all need to be growing, and that's how we can do that, to come together, to continue steadfastly in the Word of God. A few things about the Scripture that I'd like to bring out that I feel like might encourage us to see how vital it is, just like blood pressure is vital to us. First of all, the Word of God is powerful. In Hebrews 4:12, says that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it'll pierce into our hearts and it'll show us those things that we need to work on in our lives. And so therefore, because of the power of the Word of God, we should see that it's important for us to be here. Matthew 24:35, the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Do you realize that when you come together, when we come together and we spend time in the Word of God, we're doing something that will have eternal benefit. His word will not pass away. It's going to accomplish what he sets it to do. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, he says, his word that goes forth out of his mouth, it will accomplish that which he pleases. So you can know for sure by being here, you're making a wise investment of your time to continue steadfastly in the word of God. In Matthew 5:18, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle will pass away until all be fulfilled. And that jot, speaking of the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the tittle being just a small mark that differentiates between two of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I was going to have us, in fact, let's do that. Let's turn to Psalm 119 for a minute, just to see how small that is. Psalm 119, look at verse number 73. Now, if in your Bible you have sections in Psalm 119 broken up into groups of eight, you'll notice, and right above that each section is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And there in verse number 73, you'll see the jot. You see that? If you have that in your Bible, if you have a Bible that shows that, right above verse 73, that's the jot. That little mark there, the small, he says, not one jot will pass away till all be fulfilled. Now, I want you to look at two verses. Look at verse number 9, right above the letter right above verse number 9, and then the letter right above verse number 81. Look at those two letters, right above verse number 9 and right above verse number 81. Do you see a difference? They look very similar, don't they? If you have that in your Bible, you'll see that they look very, very similar. The difference in those two letters is the tittle. Very small difference. And see, he says, not one jot or tittle will pass until all be fulfilled. That's what we have in the Scripture right here. It's God-breathed, and we're investing time in eternity when we commit to being here for the teaching of God's Word. It's powerful. It's profitable. The 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and he says it is profitable. And he lists several areas: doctrine, reproof, correction, and so on. It's profitable to us. We come together for the apostles' doctrine, for the teaching of Scripture, and it's a time that is well spent. It's profitable to us. And here in Psalm 119, he gives, I wish we had time to go through this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. Psalm, take time to read through here, because he lists several ways that the Word of God is profitable. Let me just read some of them to you. Psalm 119, verse 9, we can find cleansing there by taking heed to the Word. Verse number 11, thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 25, it revives. Verse 28, it strengthens. Verse 45 brings liberty. Verse 50, it brings comfort. It stabilizes in verse 72, or verse 80 rather. It gives wisdom in verse 98. It gives guidance in verse 105. Joy, verse 111. Light, verse 130. In verse 165, it says, great peace have they who love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. This is a rich book. There's a lot in here. And it's profitable for us in every area of our lives. And so we want to come together for that reason and sit under the teaching. It's also palatable to us. In Psalm 119, several scriptures that refer to the psalmist having a desire for the Word of God. As I read through some of these, I want us to look at our own desire. Do I have this longing for the Word of God? Do I have a desire and a hunger for the Word of God? Psalm 119, verse 18, listen to his prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Do you come to the meetings? Do I come to the meetings with that desire? Lord, open my eyes so I will see wondrous things out of your word. Verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thine judgments at all times. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Do I have that desire for the word of God? When we make it a priority, when we make a commitment to it, the word of God will have its powerful impact on our lives. That's our desire. That's why we want to make this an assembly challenge. That's why we have the Word of God in all of our meetings, and we would like for as many of us to be here as possible, because it's the Word of God that can accomplish great things in our lives. I remember when Jonathan was a small baby, we had to rush him to the emergency room because he was gasping for breath. He was, I think, maybe 3 months old. Is that right, Patty? Something like that. And we heard him through the monitor, and he was having a hard time breathing. We rushed him into the emergency room, and they diagnosed him as having telescoping of the intestines, where the large intestine the small intestine was going sort of into the large intestine, and it was clamping down and causing pain so that he couldn't breathe, and he was starting to turn blue. And, you know, giving us a scare as new parents, I'll tell you, there's nothing like running to the emergency room with your little three-month-old. It's something. But they said that if that had not corrected itself, that would have to be surgically fixed, because it cut off the blood supply to that section of the intestine, and it would have to be surgically fixed. No blood supply. You know, we might think to ourselves, when you think of that little piece of small intestine in there, not visible to anybody's eye, we might think to ourselves, you know, when I come to the meeting, I don't have a public role. I don't stand up in front of people, or I'm just a small person sitting in the corner and not really noticed. And yet, here was this one little section of his intestine that, when the blood supply was cut off, it was going to cause pain to the entire body and cause serious health problems. So it is, all of us, we're all important. We're all parts of the body. We all need that blood supply through the scriptures, where we get those nutrients to be healthy. And so it's important for all of us to want to make that commitment. Second is fellowship. As we think of fellowship, I'd like to relate this to the vital sign of our temperature. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Now, the average normal body temperature, of course, we know is 98.6. And if there abnormal rise in temperature, we know can be an indicator of problems like disease or things of that nature, or maybe an infection. So what is fellowship? Fellowship is association, communion, joint participation, sharing together. The Greek word for fellowship is translated as fellowship, communion, or contribution. That is in reference to sharing of a gift, or to communicate, speaking of our giving. One aspect of fellowship is to simply share in the lives of one another, where we talk with one another and we see what's going on in one another's lives, particularly in a spiritual sense. And we have opportunities to share in one another's lives in all of our meetings, whether it be before or after the meetings or in between the meetings from 9:30 to 9:55 when we have the coffee time. That's a time when we can enjoy fellowship. We have specially designed times for fellowship with fellowships over in the gym with the fall treats or the ice cream social or I had to get the ice cream social in there. And the watermelon slicing, all of these are times for fellowship. And that's one aspect of the fellowship. But there's another aspect of fellowship. He talks about the sharing together. And the sharing together is not only in the privileges of the assembly, but the responsibilities of the assembly as well. That is the ministries. The scripture says we all have a spiritual gift or gifts to exercise in the body. Just like all the parts of our body have a specific role to fulfill. All of us have a role to fulfill. And if one part's not doing its part, then it's going to affect the whole. And so it is with us in the fellowship. We share together. So if we're to stick the thermometer, as it were, in and check our temperature, how might we come out when we check our spiritual temperature? That is in relation to our fellowship. First of all, am I sharing jointly or participating in regular attendance at the meetings? Second, am I sharing or jointly participating in the ministries of the assembly by exercising my spiritual gift? That's a question. That's a way that we can check our spiritual temperature. Are we taking on our responsibility and roles in the assembly as God has gifted us? Third is, am I sharing or jointly participating in serving others in the assembly? There's many opportunities that we have here to serve others. There are shut-ins who might need their leaves raked or their grass mowed, those who have various needs, those who are experiencing bereavement, and to provide a meal for those. What a blessing, isn't it? You know, it's a blessing to share, and it's also a blessing to be on the receiving end of that loving fellowship that we have with one another. And that's, we can all participate in that. Are we doing so in this fellowship? Am I sharing or jointly participating in praying for individuals in the assembly? That's our responsibility too, to share in the prayer ministry with one another and so on. So how is our temperature? Are we committed to fellowship, to those times of fellowship? And to reach out when we have fellowships, look for those who kind of fall by themselves, who maybe don't have as many close people. We can reach out to them in a loving way to draw them in to even closer fellowship. And then the breaking of bread in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, he talks how they came together to remember the Lord Jesus through the breaking of bread. I would suggest, as far as our vital signs, that this could relate to our pulse. Our pulse refers to our heart rate, which, of course, varies with our physical activity or various things that we're involved in and so on. But if our pulse is not proper, is what it should be, then there can be a real problem. It can indicate that there's a problem going on. And so the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, we need to check this spiritual vital sign. It is our pulse, our heart rate. You know, many assemblies do not see the Lord's Supper as being vital to the health of the assembly. And when we look into the New Testament and we see this the pattern for us established here in the book of Acts, it was critical. It was critical to the health of the assembly That is coming together to remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread. And they continued to do that. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says that they came together on the first day of the week when they came together to break bread. Acts 20 and verse number 7. And we see that throughout the book of Acts, this seems to be the established pattern, that they would meet together on the first day of the week for that reason, to remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread. And so we seek to do that as well. We want to follow that pattern. We want to make that as vital to this assembly as it was to the early church in the book of Acts. And so at 9:30 every week, we have the Lord's Supper. We come together to remember the Lord Jesus, the one who died, the one who gave himself to pay the penalty for our sins. And we have that blessed opportunity to remember him. May I suggest that this is the heartbeat. This is the pulse of the assembly. And what we want to do is to take your fingers and put it across your wrist or wherever you can best find your pulse and check it. Check your pulse. What is your perspective? Do you see the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ as being vital to not only your personal spiritual health, but to the health of this assembly by your attendance at the Lord's Supper, by you being here? Some truths that will help us to view it that way as being vital. Number one, first of all, our Lord commanded it. Our Lord commanded it. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, it says, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's from the Lord Jesus himself, who instituted the Lord's Supper to remember him. He made it a command. He said, this do in remembrance of me. He didn't use big words. Very simple. Simple for us to understand this command. In fact, our Apostle Paul repeated it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In fact, twice he repeated it. He said, this do in remembrance of me. It's a command. Knowing that the Lord Jesus commanded it should be enough to convince us of how vital the Lord's Supper is to the assembly. A second thing to consider is that the Lord's Supper is all about him. Can't emphasize that enough. The Lord's Supper is all about him. It's about the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we see the Lord's Supper as simply being a service that we go to, perhaps a religious ceremony or a ritual. That's farthest from the truth. And all who come to the Lord's Supper would agree. It's not a ritual, is it? It's not just a ceremony. It's revolved around a person, the Lord Jesus. He says, this is my body, which is broken for you. He said, this do in remembrance of me. It's about him, the Lord Jesus. And that should be enough to make us realize how vital it is to our spiritual health. Another thing is that we proclaim his death till he comes. That's what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or proclaim the Lord's death until he come. And so we proclaim, when we come together to remember the Lord every Sunday morning, we proclaim his death until he come. We have that privilege of doing so. We're proclaiming to the world that Jesus Christ is our only hope. We're proclaiming to the world that he died, that he gave his body, he shed his blood, that we could have eternal life, and that he is our only hope for salvation. And we have the privilege of proclaiming that by our attendance here at the Lord's Supper. And that he is worthy of our love and our adoration and our worship as we remember him. Another thing to help us in that regard is it's our opportunity to express worship and love and thanks to him. That's the Lord's Supper. It's our opportunity to express that to him. Can we do that on our own? Sure. And we should be doing it on our own. But here in a united way, we come together, we meet around the person of the Lord Jesus for that reason, to remember him and to tell him, thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. And, you know, we think about remember the story of the 10 lepers that were cleansed, and they all cried out to the Lord Jesus, and they said, "Lord, have mercy on us." And the Lord had mercy on all 10 of those lepers, and they were all cleansed of their leprosy. And you know what the scripture says? How many came back to tell him thank you? One. One came back. And you remember his responses. He said, "Where are the nine? Where are the others that were? Weren't there 10 that were cleansed? And yet only one came back." Well, this is our opportunity. Not to be like the nine, but to be like the one that pleased the Lord. To come back every week. We can't thank him enough, can we? We'll never begin to repay the debt that we owe to him. And our opportunity to tell him thank you for dying for us on the cross of Calvary. I'm reminded in Luke 7 of the Pharisee who threw a dinner and invited the Lord Jesus to come. And there was a sinful woman who came in, you remember. And this sinful woman who was known to be a sinner, she got at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she brought in a vial, and she broke that, and she put it on the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she washed his feet with her tears. Never once did she even say a word. We don't ever read of her saying one word. And yet she honored the Lord Jesus by coming and worshiping and showing her love to him, unlike Simon the Pharisee that was there. The important point I want to point out with that is that the scripture says this: when she knew that Jesus was there, that's when she came. You know, why would a sinful woman go to the house of a Pharisee who was a religious leader, one who would look down on her, criticize her, even as we see in Luke chapter 7 that he did in his thoughts? Why would she do that? She would know that he would feel that way. Be in the presence of those who would look down on her. Why would she come? She knew that Jesus was going to be there. Nothing was going to stop her. She wanted to come. She wanted to express her love and gratitude to the Lord Jesus. And so we want to come to remember the Lord Jesus in that way. And then finally, prayer. Prayer speaks of our respiration. If we want to look at the fourth vital sign, as it were, we could consider respiration as being related to prayer. Of course, we know respiration is simply our breathing. Now, if there's a problem with our breathing, we're in trouble quick, aren't we? You ever had trouble with your breathing? If you've had trouble with your breathing, you know how serious it can be, and be quick. I remember one year I had never had asthma before. I've had allergies, but never asthma. And all of a sudden, I started having it. And boy, I went to the doctor fast to get some help and got an inhaler. And it went away just as quick as it came. But breathing is vital to our physical health. Prayer is vital to our spiritual health and to the health of this assembly. I wish we had time to go through the book of Acts. There are several references to the early church in the book of Acts when they come together for corporate prayer. Do we need to pray individually? Certainly we do. But we need to pray corporately. That's what the early church did, and they continued steadfastly in prayer, the scripture tells us. And they were committed to it. And so it is with us as well. Now, as we look at these vital signs, let me just say this. These four areas, it's not a spiritual checklist. It's not like we can say, well, you know, I have a desire to be here for the Lord's Supper. I have a desire to be here to hear the word and to pray and to be in fellowship. And if I check off these four things, well, then I must be spiritual. Well, that's not our approach. We're not looking at it as a spiritual checklist, but we're looking at it as vital signs, critical to our health as an assembly and individually. And I hope that we'll all have a desire to be here for all of these reasons. You know, when we make that commitment to be here, it'll not only enhance our individual lives spiritually, but the life of the assembly. And that's our goal, to be honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we make that choice, we want to do it for his name's sake, not for anybody here, or not just to say that I've met the assembly challenge, but we want to do it for him, to honor the Lord Jesus. May that be true as we seek to practice these truths that we see in the New Testament. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he, your Son, gave his life for us, that he might redeem us and give us eternal life, that we could be with him forever one day. Father, while we're here as an assembly, here on this earth, might we be an assembly that's honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, might we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread in prayers, that you might be glorified in this, your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.